The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your comments, your questions, your discussion on the issue. Today we're talking about what is Thanksgiving. As we celebrate Thanksgiving season, may I remind you Thanksgiving is not to be just one day or one moment. It should be 24/7 that we say thank you, thank you, thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he has done for us, for all that he has given to us and provided for us. Before we get into the brief monologue and then the discussion on what is Thanksgiving, let me invite each and every one of you to join us at First Conservative Baptist Church at 10 o'clock. Not our regular time, but 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We're having a very special celebration of Thanksgiving. And in that, we have the city that is issuing to us a proclamation and a dedication award for our ministry of over 40 years now in the city of Jacksonville. We're looking forward to that. Have several of our city council leaders and city leaders with us. We'll have some special music and testimonies. We invite you, our listeners. You've been listening for less than 100 years now, so we'd love to have you come. And the special Sunday, where we're having multitudes of guests and special event, ladies and gentlemen, we'd love to have you. That's 10 o'clock this Sunday morning, First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, right 1 mile, just 1 mile south of I-295. Looking forward to having you with us on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. When Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. By the way, that word indeed means truly, absolute. If you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. So John 17:17, declarative statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117 and verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I pray that you will be delighted, happy, encouraged, and thankful during this Thanksgiving season. And again, I remind you, Thanksgiving is not just one day. Thanksgiving should be every day of our lives. May I say to you, as we look at the subject today, the issue today, what is Thanksgiving? Why should we be thankful? I want to hear from you, our listeners, today. And lest I forget it, and sometimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We have around the table with us today, Brother Ken McElfresh. We have on the other side of the table, Dr. Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, how about taking a moment as we get into this issue today to introduce your thoughts and a little thumbnail, what I call elevator speech about Thanksgiving.
Well, first I want to say good morning to all of my family and friends, and thank God for being able to be here again on today with you, amen, and this wonderful pastor, amen, on today. Amen. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Amen. Tell God thank you. Amen. And mean it from your heart. amen, and know and understand, amen, that it's he that made you and not you that made yourself, amen. Mm-hmm. So good morning to all my family and friends, amen, my bride of 39 years, amen, amen, my goddaughter, amen, Brother Mike, amen, I ask you to listen in on today, amen, thank God, I just met him a few days ago, amen, so I thank God for all of you on today. So certainly we want to set, amen, the mold today to put you in a frame of mind to help you to understand that as a believer, your whole lifestyle should reflect thanksgiving every day. And the reason why I say that, because when I look at Psalm number 104 and verses 33 and 34, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amen. So when we look at that verse, number 33, it tells us, amen, we are in a season. Our life is a season. Amen. So that while we are here, as long as we are here, amen, we should reflect and give thanksgiving and praise unto our God, because he is our God on today.
Amen. Amen. That sets the stage. Brother Ken, tell us about it, about as I learned many, many years ago in Tallahassee with the politicians with trying to get some legislation passed. One of the elevator brides from one floor to the next, the congressman said, give me your elevator speech.
I'd love to do that. And yes. I kind of like the layout and outline of what I have planned for my participation today. Again, thank you to you. Thanks to the Lord to opening this door of opportunity for me to share my faith and spiritual insights that I may have that the Lord has showed me.
Amen.
So today I'm thinking about a critical distinction that's provided in the Bible as to the substance of thanksgiving. I'm going to call it natural thanksgiving and spiritual thanksgiving. Natural meaning the general things that apply to life, food, clothing, and raiment. And those are things that we should thank the Lord for. Mm-hmm. However, there is spiritual thankfulness as revealed truth and spiritual blessings in the Bible. Second topic is the preeminent New Testament persons that proclaim thanksgiving to God or praise God in the New Testament. There's a couple. Of course, the preeminent one is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've done a quick study on where Jesus thanked God, and the one time that he got specific about why he was thanking God, to kind of bring out the truth and the priority that he laid on this matter of thanksgiving. And then, of course, if we, as time permits, some practical application for our hearers.
Amen. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to it. May I say to you, as we think about the question, the issue, what is thanksgiving? Perhaps you, many of our listeners today, recall the 10 leprous men in Luke 17. Leprosy was incurable in that era. Leprosy is a good illustration, by the way, of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can cure it. And they see Jesus coming, and all 10 of them run and fall down on their knees before him, asking for his mercy and for his healing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've studied that story in the scripture, you understand Jesus Christ healed all 10 of these leprous, dying men. They all turned to walk away. Only one returned and said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen.
One out of 10, all had the same blessing, all had the same cure, all had the same experience with the Lord Jesus, but only one said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Dr. Davis, I believe that really sets the stage for what we see even among Christians today. Maybe one out of 10 will recognize the bountiful blessings. Maybe one out of 10 will recognize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you. Overwhelming majority today fall just as in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, where the scripture says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what we find so often today. So, Dr. Davis, what do we say to that person that thinks that somehow, some way, Thanksgiving is just one day out of the year? We have a big turkey dinner. We stuff ourselves with food, and think that's all Thanksgiving is about. What do you say to that person that may be listening, that that's all they're accustomed to, that's all they think about, and yet not really realizing what Thanksgiving ought to be?
Well, what I can draw away from that parable, if I may pull just a few thoughts away from what you just got finished reading about the 10 lepers.
Mm-hmm.
This tells me, Dr. Youngblood, that we're still living in that kind of time today.
Mm-hmm.
Because grateful people give God thanks.
Yes.
But ungrateful people tell him thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a difference in that.
Absolutely. Explain that to our listeners.
When you look at being grateful, that means you go back over your life every day and take inventory. And when you begin to count your blessings, I guarantee you, you're going to run out of fingers and toes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to run out of numbers, because there are more blessings in your life daily than you can ever number or keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, when you come to the full realization to know and understand that it is God that is still blessing you in spite of yourself, even when you don't do right, he still blesses you.
Right.
He could cut you off at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we consider even the oxygen that we are breathing, it doesn't belong to us. That belongs to God.
Amen. Every breath, every heartbeat.
Amen. So consider that. Just the simple things. And I think I had heard Pastor Ken talk about this a little while ago. Amen. About the spiritual side and the natural side. I mean, if we combine those two and count the blessings on both sides, God is responsible for everyone.
Absolutely. Amen.
And you don't deserve any of that.
He awakened us this morning.
Amen. There's nothing that we have done so good that we deserve to be able to be here to see another Thanksgiving day. So when you wake up tomorrow and you begin to eat more turkey, please don't forget about God.
Amen.
Because it's very important. So again, when we look at the 10, that's 10%.
Mm-hmm.
One person out of the 10 came back and gave God thanks. And it's sad to say it, but it's actually in the church.
That's right.
It hurts me a lot of times. Because when I consider the churches, the state of the churches today, not the state of the union, we're not going to even count that. We're not going to even look at the United States.
That's right.
Amen. But when we look at the state of the churches today, it's very sad to say very few will extend a hand to even raise up to the sky, lift your hands to the sky, mm-hmm. and tell God, thank you, because I realize it's you that woke me up this morning, and now I'm able to put one foot before the other and go throughout the rest of my day.
Amen. So, Brother Ken, that brings me to a thought. There's a verse in the scripture that I have used for many, many years. Most of the time, if you do any commentary research on Thanksgiving, that's one of the first verses you'll come to, Colossians 3:15. In that verse, there's a command, be ye thankful. In that command, be ye thankful, does that say just a few people to be thankful, everybody be thankful, or should we be thankful altogether? And should that be just one time a year, or should that be every day?
I believe that if we look closely at the Greek verb there, it's going to be present, subjective, active, which is ongoing,
continual,
mm-hmm. never completed, and it's day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. We
Amen.
Should be obeying that command.
Amen.
And to draw out the topics and the substance of our Thanksgiving, looking back at the religion of Cain and the spiritual worship of Abel, we had two individuals that brought forth sacrifices to God. Abel's was the firsting of his flocks. Cain's was the fruit of the ground. But on the surface, it's not evident where the great difference laid between the two sacrifices. In the fruit of the ground, and I'm assigning this to the natural Thanksgiving side, Cain considered God only as a creator and preserver, where he offered the fruits of the earth, acknowledging that God made, preserved, and bestowed these type of natural blessings on man, but he had no respect unto his sin and the way of deliverance as revealed in the first promise in the Garden of Eden. Whereas the faith of Abel was fixed on God not only as a creator, but as the redeemer. In his infinite grace and wisdom, he appointed a way of redemption by sacrifice and atonement, as intimated in the first promise. And he brought, if we look at that word, a sacrifice of mactation by blood and violence. So the first promise of that coming Christ that God promised to defeat Satan, deliver us from our misery and the judgment of sin, had made such an impact, and Abel had put his faith in that promise to where he felt obligated in his sacrifice to bring that sacrifice that displayed the redemption that he had experienced and enjoyed so much. So this was the great differentiator that made a difference between the natural and the spiritual worship.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. So let's speak to the underlying question that some may have. It was in 1621 that the Pilgrims had been off the Mayflower for less than a year. They had gone through horrific weather. Multitudes of the entire ship group that had come over died because of malnutrition and being not having enough clothing to protect themselves from the weather. And yet, they provided under what was called then the Harvest Festival that we relate to as Thanksgiving. Tell me, speak to the issue, give an illustration between what we do today and call it Thanksgiving and what they did then and it was considered Thanksgiving. Vast difference. Explain that briefly, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Davis to pick up on that.
Okay. So the foundation, as we understand by history, was they had made it through a very difficult voyage. Mm-hmm. And it landed, and coming to a new climate, a new area, interacting with the Indians, they had difficulty sustaining themselves. And having lived in New England, the weathers are very
harsh.
Very harsh.
Yeah.
And I could see how there was difficulty. There was probably death and perhaps disease of just having those essentials of life. But God, through miraculous means, sustained them, gave them food and clothing and sheltered, and helped them introduce and birth, really, this new nation. Mm-hmm. that came across that we know to be the United States. I'm sure there was a lot of other things that were said and talked about. It seems that the tradition has come down about the meal and about them surviving through those miraculous circumstances.
But the bottom line is, in the midst of that, even though there was a loss of life, even though there was deprivation and desperate conditions, they still thanked God for what they had. And yet in America, Dr. Davis, we have just about everybody has all that they would want and more. And yet we find a lack of thanksgiving. What do you see is the motivator, the cause behind that?
Well, we are spoiled brats.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't even realize that compared to other countries, we are rich.
That's right. Absolutely.
Even when you look at the person that might be considered to be on the lowest part of the totem pole in society.
That's right.
They are still rich compared to third world countries.
Absolutely.
Now, I can tell you this by experience, because you heard me say this a few times on the broadcast about how I went on a cruise some years back with my family. Mm-hmm. And we happened to be in the Honduras and in Belize on Christmas Day. But the thing I couldn't understand, man, I tell you what, and I was mad with Carnival Cruise Line for quite some time because I could not understand why, as beautiful as I saw Belize on the Wheel of Fortune and those other places, how they show, oh man, the best look like a paradise. Why did they pick the worst part of Belize to take us through on Christmas Day?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I saw with my eyes really put a scar on my heart and soul, and it helped me to realize even more how blessed I was. Because let me describe it just shortly, and I know we're going to be out of time in a minute. But as we began to take a tour through the villages, we were on a bus, like a school bus, with no windows. Mm-hmm. And as we rode through the villages, the little kids, this was on Christmas Day, were out there with a Christmas stocking hat on, barefooted, nose running, I mean, sickly looking little kids with ragged clothes on. Mm. And they were running behind that tour bus begging us for something on Christmas Day. Mm. And I thought about even my kids, how many toys they had under the tree. Mm-hmm. What a big spread I had on my table at home that my wife left a cooked meal that we could go back to and eat. The great food that we were enjoying on board the Carnival cruise ship. And how these people were running behind us, begging us basically for crumbs. Mm-hmm. So now, let's bring that up to today, today's topic. I think, again, people don't realize how blessed they are to be able to have what they have, because they're only telling God, thank you for the natural, going back to what Pastor said.
That's right.
But they're not telling him thank you for the spiritual part. So the both of them need to connect in order for you to become grateful and realize it. We're not talking about head knowledge. You need to be grateful from your heart. And when the praise and the giving of thanks comes from the heart, this is what God recognizes, and he knows and understands that you are grateful for what he's blessing you with. So in turn, he will continue to bless you with more. But even, let me get back to my other point, when you don't do what you're supposed to do, he still blesses you anyhow.
Amen. That's right.
So guess what? That's even more reason for you to be grateful and to give him thanks.
Because we serve a good God.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
There's so many things, Brother Ken, that we could isolate, identify, and articulate about what we should be thankful for. Could you speak to that? Our listeners, I believe, perhaps are saying, well, what should I be thankful for? I don't have enough food, clothing, and shelter, perhaps they're saying. But as Dr. Davis said, we're wealthy as a nation. Even the poorest person in America is wealthy when compared to third world nations.
Amen.
So when we look at it, let me just start it off. Then you can pick up on that. I am thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that he gave us a written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. I'm looking at Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you look at the beginning of the chapter, what David said in relationship to thankfulness, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 15, I will meditate and thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And it goes on and on and on. All of Psalms 119, a praise for the word of God. How should we view that today? I believe, Brother Ken and Dr. Davis, that multitudes of Christians are not recognizing what we have in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Brother Ken, what say you?
I'm going to say this, that Pastor, you brought up a couple of topics that fall under that spiritual gratitude category, mm-hmm. versus what I'm going to call the common gratitude category. For example, the item that you brought to Dr. Davis, circumstances. Common gratitude is if something good happens to me, I can praise God. If mm-hmm. something bad happens to me, I'm not likely to praise God. But on the spiritual gratitude, our praise to God regarding circumstances is sovereignty dependent. Did the Lord choose this for me, good or bad in my opinion, to go through? And I thank God for all the circumstances in my life.
Amen.
That's spiritual gratitude.
Right. Amen.
You also brought up the Word of God. Another category in spiritual gratitude is spiritual truth and eternal realities. Salvation, God's sovereignty, the faith and health of others spiritually, the progress and the prosperity of the church. Those are all fall under that, as opposed to common, which is temporary material benefits and comfort, which are great. Other spiritual gratitude would be that which relates to divine, eternal, and issues that fall back to the local church, as well as being thankful. And here's kind of a good bridge into the next kind of topic I wanted to shed some light on, was being thankful for the revelation of truth. Mm-hmm. And out of the six times where we have our Savior thanking God, three of them were for the Lord's Supper. One of them was at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. He thanked God that he always heard his prayers and that he was going to answer this so the people would validate that he was from God.
Amen. Amen.
Then, before he fed the 5,000, he thanked God for the food. Mm-hmm. But no place other than Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, did the Lord get into some detail about specifically what he was thanking God for. And it was for the revelation of truth and the spiritual enlightenment of the understanding of what he called a category of babes, as opposed to the intellectually capable, about the truths and mysteries of the gospel.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's where he took the time to explain in his prayer that that was his preeminent doctrine that he thanked the Father for, was divine revelation and the method in which it's communicated. And sinners who have a darkened mind, who are spiritually blind, it takes enlightenment of the understanding by the Spirit of God to receive and understand in a beneficial way those truths that are revealed in Scripture.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I'm looking at Psalm 69.
Good one, Pastor. Very
right.
Good.
I'm looking
very
at Psalm 69:30, and we're to praise the Lord and magnify him with thanksgiving. What does it mean to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, Dr. Davis?
Well, that's to make him larger than life.
Yes.
Basically. I mean, life itself. Mm-hmm. God is larger than that. Because when you look at him saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, I am he, Jesus said in Revelation, who was dead.
That's right.
Yet I live forever. Mm-hmm. That's enough to let me know. When I find that man, that's the one I want to be with. Amen. You know, that's it.
That should make a Baptist shout.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the realization of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so as we think about Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? What have you said today? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What are you thankful for? We're celebrating Thanksgiving, and we're giving thanks. And that text that I just read and Dr. Davis so eloquently spoke about says there, we're to praise the Lord and magnify him with thanksgiving. That is to magnify him, to point to him, to honor him, to adore him, to praise him before others that others might know.
So many times,
do we have somebody? I thought they buzzed me on that. Okay, go ahead.
But you know, so many times, Dr. Youngblood, people tend to magnify their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm grateful for Brother Mike on today. I told you the guy that I just talked about at the beginning of the broadcast.
Right.
Brother Mike is a cancer patient. I had a chance to privilege to meet him the other morning, and we ate breakfast at Waffle House. And this young man, he just walked in, and automatically our eyes kind of locked upon one another. So I call it a divine intervention between us. The God intended for me to meet him on that day, put us together.
Absolutely. I believe we have Chelsea on the line. Chelsea, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi. Good morning to all of you. Hey, Dad.
Good morning. It's my daughter.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Just in the past 2 days, my life has been miraculously changed. And just me listening to this alone was divine intervention. I wasn't Amen. Even supposed to be in my car listening to the radio. I talked with my dad for over an hour, just 2 days ago, about an invitation to come help out on Sunday.
Amen.
I've struggled with my personal faith since I was a child, And
Jesus,
I embody
Jesus.
The spoiled brat that you just described. the seed was planted in me as a child.
Jesus, Jesus.
And because I had the privileges of this modern society, I never really knew what it meant to need God, because I had everything.